So our text for this morning's meditation is from Romans chapter 6, these words, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is complicated. I mean, it can be complicated. That is how we are to understand our lives lived daily in Jesus Christ. Our lives after we have been baptized into our Savior. Sure. We like simplicity. Who doesn't? And we certainly don't want to be taxed with heavy concepts and ideas and thoughts on any given Sunday morning. For our life, our Christian life especially, should be easy to live. And it should be easy to understand and easy to grasp. And yet, here we are this morning, Romans chapter 6, where we're told by the Holy Spirit of God that our baptism was a baptism into Jesus Christ. And what that means is that we were baptized into the life and death and resurrection to life again of Jesus Christ. Sure, we were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, baptized into the triune God. But in so being baptized into the triune God, we were baptized specifically into the Son of God who became man in Jesus. That is, we were baptized into the one who revealed to us the Father and the Holy Spirit in his person. So our heads, boy, they're already spinning this morning. For that one, the very Son of God, Jesus Christ, did die, but rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, and now at this moment, he lives and reigns to all eternity. And so he's present with us in this room at this very moment. And he's dwelling within each and every one of our hearts. So how can it be, then, that we're baptized into his death? The meaning of this word, Luther preached over 500 years ago now, the meaning of this word is a blessed dying, a dying unto sin, and a rising in the grace of God. So the old man, conceived and born in sin, is drowned, and a new man emerges or rises, born of grace in such a way sin is drowned in baptism, and justification emerges. Now listen. The meaning of such dying and drowning of sin is not perfected in this life. It's not perfected in this life. Not until the body dies and crumbles to death. Sure, the sacrament of baptism, it's performed quickly and easily as we witness, but the meaning of it, the spiritual baptism and drowning of sin, is continued all throughout our earthly life, and it cannot be fully achieved while we are alive on earth. Only at the hour of our death is our baptism into Christ completed. It's at that point, then, that the person is truly sunk into baptism, and what was begun is completed. Therefore, this entire life is nothing but an unceasing baptism unto death, and whoever is baptized is condemned to death. Therefore, the life of the Christian from baptism unto the grave is nothing but the commencement of a blessed dying, for on the last day God will make him a new and a different person. So Luther. So it can be understood. Our being baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. So throughout our lives as Christians, we become more and more and more like Christ as from day to day to day we die. We die just a little bit more to sin. But of course, there's all sorts of misconceptions out there about what happens when we're baptized. One of which is that our baptisms give us the power to live a sinless life if we just try. That's a popular idea. But having just tried to live a sinless life for days, for weeks maybe, or months, or even years, we finally come to the conclusion that we can't do it. We can't live a life uninfected and unaffected by sin, and so what do? We give up trying. And then we declare in our hearts, our souls, our minds that our baptism into Christ ultimately wasn't anything at all. Another misconception about baptism, well, our baptisms were nothing to begin with, or if anything, simply a public acknowledgement that we truly wanted to be a Christian and make a commitment to be a Christian. And having done that, we set about our task to live like Jesus. But then again, we discover that we couldn't be successful and we're not successful. And so we conclude then that the issue wasn't our baptism, really, because our baptism wasn't anything to begin with except for some water. The issue is, in reality, us. In fact, that we simply were not committed enough to Jesus. And so what do? We are baptized again. And we give this Christian life another shot. Another misconception about baptism. The idea that having been baptized into Christ, we need not worry about sin. For what is our baptism into Jesus but our get-out-of-hell-free card? A sure guarantee that whatever we do in this life, our sin is covered and we need not worry, not in the least, not even to the point of thinking that we should at least try to live a little bit like Jesus, try to talk like Jesus, try to think like Jesus. For what would be the point in that? God loves us, after all, just the way we are. So we are going to be what we are, whatever that might be. But then again, there's that pesky verse of Scripture also given to us by the Holy Spirit, Philippians 2:12, these words, "Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That is, in baptism, Luther again. The fact that we're sunk under the water indicates that we too die in Christ and that we emerge again means and imparts to us new life in Him. Just as He did not remain in death but rose again, but such a life should not and cannot be a life in sin, because sin has already been slain in us. We've died to sin, but it must be a new life of righteousness and holiness. Thus, we are now called planted into Christ and made one with Christ and, as it were, baked into one loaf. And we receive into ourselves both the power of His death and the power of His resurrection, and also the fruit or consequence of it is found in us since we have been baptized into Him. So let's simplify. Our baptism into the death of Christ means a daily dying unto sin, but also a pursuit of the righteousness of Christ, where we recognize our sin, work against it, avoid it, flee from it, renounce it, and keep far from it, but also then pursue a life of Christ-likeness. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be 100% successful. And it also doesn't mean that our salvation depends upon it to the extent that we must achieve such Christ-likeness in this life or we spend an eternity apart from Christ. No, far from it. So how can we understand what's going on as Christians? Well, I've used the example before that being baptized into the death and life of Christ is like being a first-round draft pick in the NFL. Hear me out here. Those first-round draft picks, they are chosen. They're made members of the team, are given uniforms, and all they need to support their bodies and lives with huge salaries, all so that they then can pursue a life in which they become the best football players they possibly can be. But we all know how that goes, right? I mean, some succeed amazingly with long careers and great successes. Others not so much, even though they try. And there are those who try for a while, and then when they're not so successful, they give up. And there are those who never try at all, who take the uniform and they take the money and then they do absolutely nothing. Now, when we hear about such a player, what do we think? But what a waste. He was given so much. What an opportunity. He didn't have to be perfect, but he needed to work, to try every day to get better, breaking old habits, learning new good ones. Well, having been baptized into Christ, we've been baptized into his suffering and death on the cross, and then 3 days later, his rising again from the dead. Being baptized into Christ, we've been baptized into the righteousness, the holiness which Christ is and has and gives to us. Being baptized into Christ, we're sent the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, so that he would empower us then daily to die to sin and set aside sin and to flee from sin and pursue a new life of holiness and righteousness. And that life then is a daily life of the forgiveness of sins, the forgiveness of our failings, our shortcomings, our fallings, which is ours through faith in Christ, this forgiveness. Now, thinking that such troubles, such failings on our part negate our baptisms, it's like some quarterback drafted in the first round thinking that having thrown an interception in training camp, he's off the team. That he fumbles a few weeks later, that his career is done. That if he's sacked in a game, that's it for him. No. Especially if each day he's continued to work and work hard, learning to avoid errors and do that which he should do. It's the pursuit. It's the daily effort. It's the working towards the goal. And yeah, sometimes that can indeed be with fear and trembling, as what is before him is simply intimidating. And yet he continues. He continues because he's on the team. He was chosen. He was picked to do exactly what he's doing. It's not perfection, but it is the pursuit of it. And so maybe that is our problem right there. Maybe we simply don't like doing something we're not that good at. And if we were to describe our lives in Christ, being baptized into Christ as a daily dying the blessed death, but also living a new life, we may conclude that we're not that good at that. We're not good at the Christian life, that daily dying and rising. And since we are not, we don't even want to try. I mean, sure, benefits we have galore and privileges and even a glorious future in which we can hope. But man, it's just hard at times and confusing and intimidating. It's thinking we're doing so well one day, we mess it all up with a flippant comment, a wrong assumption, a moment of snarkiness, which then sends us into a tailspin in our hearts and minds. What kind of Christian am I really? But that's the pursuit. The daily drowning to sin. The daily confrontation with the devil, the world, and our flesh, with the sure and certain knowledge that such confrontations will indeed occur, but will occur as the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and Christ our Savior is united with us, and God our loving Heavenly Father is watching over us. It's kind of like those quarterbacks, you know, they're not out there by themselves. They've got a line, they've got coaches up in the booth, they've got coaches on the sideline, they've got a crowd all around them, home game, cheering for them, hoping they do well. So we're okay. It's okay, this dying just a little each day. No, somewhat an obscure singer, maybe some of you remember him, Otis Clay, who sang a song of that title back in 1972, I Die Just a Little Each Day. And in that song, Otis bemoans the fact that since his girlfriend has left him, he just couldn't go on. He was dying just a little each day, and so he's really sad, but our dying a little each day should not make us sad, but happy. For that which is dying within us through our baptisms into Christ, our old Adams, in fact, should die and will die completely and fully when we die. So let's not get upset about that or frustrated or disillusioned, thinking that somehow because this is so, we're not living the Christian life. And we're not baptized into Christ, and our baptisms are not effective. For in reality, that is, in fact, the Christian life, the Christian baptism, this dying a blessed death each day. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.